R.W. Shambach got up and just read this passage before he ever preached a word. All of a sudden, I understood the whole thing. But that was God. It was the anointing that that man carried. But I'm believing God tonight as we read the passages that more revelation will come. He'll help us to understand, and it will just be imprinted on our heart. He'll shine his light. So I want to read verses 1 through 6 in the first chapter of Hebrews. When you look at the book of Hebrews, one of the main themes is the superiority of Jesus. You look at the Jews in that day, and Moses was everything. The priesthood was everything, and angels were everything. But the Holy Spirit is talking about Jesus. He's the main thing. You know, let's keep the main thing, right? And it's Jesus. So that's what we're going to learn about tonight as New Testament believers. What that looks like, what kingdom culture looks like. And we're talking about, there's going to be a perspective of, you know, we serve a triune God. What does that mean? Three parts, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father is talking here about the Son. He's talking about the lordship of the Son. So let's just start here in verse 1, Hebrews 1. God, talking about the Father, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So he's saying the Son was there, and that word world there even means the ages. So he created time. He's talking about the supremacy of Jesus. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he's like, he's seated next to me. All right. There's no angel seated next to me. And having become much better than the angels, he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him. He shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him, right? So he's saying the Son is here with me. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the angels are below him. So that's our perspective as a New Testament believer. They're part of the kingdom, but they're below the Son, right? We never worship angels. That's how that goes. And then let's jump in that same chapter to verse 13 and 14. And it talks about what the angels do. So verse 13 in Hebrews 1, it says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, which is none of them. And then verse 14, it talks about them. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation? So it calls the angels ministering spirits, right? That sounds a little weird, but he's talking about the angels. And it says they're to render service for the heirs of salvation. Who is that? It's us, right? So he's saying for those that have come into a place of salvation, the angels are to render service. I want to read it in a couple of other passages. You don't have all of these, Ben. The Wiest translation says of verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits to render service sent on a commission for the sake of those who are about to inherit salvation? And then the WEB says it like this. Aren't they all serving spirits sent out to do service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And then you have this one, Ben, the Amplified Classic. It says, are not all the angels ministering spirits or servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who inherit salvation? I like that. So he says, aren't all the angels? They're the ministering spirits. And what are they supposed to do? They're sent out in the service of God to bring assistance, right? And then the Weymouth translation says this. It says, are not all angels spirits that serve him, whom he sent out to do service for the benefit of those who will before long inherit salvation? So we see what their job is. They render service to us, right? And you see it all throughout the scriptures. Man, when I started looking at this, because I said, Lord, you want me to talk about angels? And he's like, yeah. We need to have a proper perspective of it in how they're moving around us, they're doing things. There are cautions in the scriptures about angels, and we need to pay attention to that. But we are going to do that. You know, we are balanced and we do things according to the word, and then we don't get into trouble, right? Some angels look like us. Some of us have seen angels. They look like men and women. Some of them are huge. You know, I heard a story just the other day of an angel, or actually there were two that walked into a room, and they were so tall, their heads were above the ceiling, right? You probably heard that story too. I might tell that story in a minute. So some of them are full of the glory of God. You look at when the angels came to Mary, you know, people, they hit the floor, you know, and we're not supposed to worship them. But so they can look different ways. There's warring angels. Some of them do different things. Dolly's seen angels. I've seen angels. It doesn't matter if we see them at all. And we don't seek angels. But sometimes they just bump up against us in the advancement of the kingdom. And we're so grateful for them, right? We're so grateful for them. Praise the Lord. Angels are a part of the kingdom of God, but they are not sons and daughters like us. Yeah, we are chosen as family. There's a difference. Yeah. It says they long to look and see, right? They're always like, man, what's going on with these Christians, the sons and daughters? The angels operate as servants of God, helping to establish his kingdom. I want to read Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Let's turn there if you guys have your Bible. So many references to angels in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, 8 and 9. John is having an interaction. He has interactions with angels all throughout. But in verse 8, wait till the pages stop turning. In verse 8, it says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Oops. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours, of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. So he said, do not fall down and worship. We're fellow servants. You have a role. I have a role. So it's like all of us work together to establish the kingdom. God uses people, the Holy Spirit, and angels in the earth to establish his plan and to get things done. It's like the Holy Spirit directs us, and then the angels move into action. Yeah. Somebody said it like this. The Holy Spirit in us and upon us, plus the angels assisting in the unseen realm, is how God gets things done. Yeah. So if Rose and I are praying about something, say we need some money, right? We pray to God. God's not going to step off the throne and go over and get the money or whatever. He's going to send the angels, right? He's going to get the people moving. So the angels are in operation. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I never really thought about this before. We're going to talk about Jacob. Genesis 28. I like reading out of my Bible instead of having it on my paper. Genesis 28 verses. I'm just going to read 10 through 12. Jacob is having an encounter. He's reaching out to God. I need you. I need, you know, all the things. He's laying hold of God, and he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees into the spirit realm. Has anybody had any dreams lately where you see into the spirit realm and God speaks to you? Yeah, it's called a night vision. One of my favorite verses is in Job, where he talks about us. He speaks to us. Actually, I'll read that in a minute. But yes, it's very scriptural for God to speak to you through dreams. Verse 10 in Genesis 28, it says, then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went down to Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. He had a dream. And behold, it was a ladder set up on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. So he sees the angels going up and down, and it goes on to talk about what happened in that story. But he sees into the spirit realm, and he sees the angels going up and down, up and down, up and down. And we see that in some other passages in the scriptures where it talks about, Jesus talked about that as well, the angels ascending, right? And so you think, what were they doing? Why would they be going up and down a ladder from heaven to earth, heaven to earth. They're busy, right? They're carrying out the plan of God. They're meeting needs. They're bringing things back and forth. They're going back and forth. I've never really thought of that in that way, but angels are busy. They're going up and down. I don't know if they're all on ladders. I don't know about that, but they're going up and down. We see that in the scripture. That's totally scriptural. And again, we see it in the gospels as well. Jesus talks about the angels ascending, going up and down as well. So when we pray, they get busy. They get busy, right? They're accomplishing tasks. And just real quick, there's a scripture in Job. I just feel like I'm supposed to read this tonight. It's Job 33:15. Let me get to Job real quick. And it talks about God speaking to us in the night. I don't know if y'all have had this experience, but when my mind is sleeping, my spirit is at the front of the, it's driving the car. You know, when we're sleep, and I've noticed God can really speak very clearly to me, especially when I'm coming out of sleep. Man, my spirit is so alert, and he'll speak things, and I think, wow, I'm hearing. And so I've began to pray this scripture that God would speak to me while my mind is quieted and my spirit is so alert. It's at the forefront. So Job 33:14, I'm going to read here. I don't have a scripture for this. Y'all just have to look on in your Bibles. It says, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. So it sounds like God's trying to tell people stuff. But he said in verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. So he corrects us even in the night through our dreams. You know, what happens when we get into pride? Well, Keith Moore says our face looks like the devil. But secondly, what happens? It says pride goes before a fall. And so this is God speaking to us. I want to bring you correction. So it's to keep man from pride and to keep back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. So we see that God speaks to us in dreams. So I'll go to bed and I'll say, God, speak to me. Correct me. Help me to hear your voice so I don't get off track. Right? Let's pray that. Let's pray it right now. God, we pray that you would speak to us, Father. We pray that you would correct us where we're wrong. I pray that you would help us to see clearly, to hear clearly, to understand clearly. Lord, where we're off, that you would make the corrections because you're such a good God. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we see the angels going up and down, right? And this is my main text tonight, Acts 12. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts 12. I'm going to read about 17 verses in that chapter. To me, this applies to us. This is like us. I can identify with this as not that we're going through persecution like that, but it's we're a New Testament church and we deal with things. And when we pray, we see what happens. There's so many scriptures in the Bible. In Daniel, it talks about praying. The angels go to work. They're warring. And sometimes he was like, why didn't I hear right away? And he finds out later, the angels, they were moving. They were moving, but it took what, how many days was it? 21 days, yeah. So when we pray, things change. So Acts 12:1-17, I'm going to read that. Talking about prayer and angels, it says, now about the time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. So that was tough. So some of the first disciples, you know, James and John came to the Lord there with Peter. And now James has been put to death. That's tough on the church, right? So then I can imagine the emotions of the church and the fear that they would be tempted with, right? What's going to happen next? But when he saw, talking about Herod, that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And they're like, uh-oh. So now he's arrested Peter. And it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him into prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So he's got four, how many squads, how many is in a squad? 16. Okay, we got 16 soldiers. So we got 16 armed soldiers guarding Peter. That's a lot, right? Was it 16 each or 16 total? Four squads. Okay, so a squad was 16. Yeah, that's a lot. So he's well guarded, and it didn't look good, right? But wait, the church steps in. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. So the church goes into fervent prayer to God on behalf of Peter. They didn't maybe pray the first time or it happened really fast, but the church wakes up. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in a cell. Okay, so they're praying to God. Peter's in trouble. And what happens? God sends an angel. It says, the angel of the Lord, I like this, struck Peter's side and woke him up. Get up. Boom. He's sleeping, so it was good enough to get him awake. He's now awake, and his chains fell off his hands. All of a sudden, he's free. The angel said to him, so angels can talk to us, gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. He went out and continued to follow. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So he's probably still half asleep. You know, I'm supposed to be in big fat trouble here, and now I'm walking out with an angel. Yeah, and I'm not bound anymore. Verse 10, when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out, went along the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. He knocked on the door of the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, you're out of your mind, but she kept on insisting it was so. They kept saying, it is his angel. I don't get that part, but they're saying it can't be him. It's got to be his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, so he's out there, please open the door, please open the door. They saw him and were amazed, but motioning to them with his hand, be silent. He described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, report these things to James and the brethren when he left and went to another place. I love that. So the church rises up after James's death, the brother of John, and they begin to pray fervently. They pray to God. They're not praying to angels. And the result is the angel appears to do the Father's will, right? And he breaks Peter out of prison. Supernatural rescue. The chains fall off. The gates open up. He walks past all the guards. They don't hear him. That's supernatural. The church prayed. An angel was sent. Peter was delivered. And then what happened with the angel? Once he was done, what did it say in verse 10? He departed. So he went on his way. So angels, they don't stay. They don't interact with us. We're not going to be having conversations with angels all the time. They're not going to give us a new doctrine, right? Outside of the scriptures, they're going to do what they need to do, and then they're going to go, right? That's how it works with angels. So that's how we look at them. And Peter just sums it up like this. It says, when he came to himself in verse 11, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And you look later down in that chapter, the Lord takes care of Herod too. Yeah, he dies a pretty awful death. And like James likes to say, don't get sideways with the Lord. Herod got sideways and he... I think it says he died and worms ate him. So, or maybe the worms ate him and he died. I'm not sure. Anyway, praise the Lord. I want to turn to one other scripture, Psalm 103, verse 20. Can't talk about angels without this one. Psalm 103, verse 20. When you look at the first part of this chapter, it is talking about the benefits of being a Christian, the benefits of God. Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, and I didn't give this to you, Ben, but bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. There's benefits. There's another passage that said he daily loads us with benefits. I've been just sitting on that for a while. Every day I get benefits from God because he loves me. Every day. Did y'all get benefits today? I got food today. I got three meals today. I have a warm, cozy bed to get in tonight. Or cool bed, whatever, however you want to look at it. Verse 3, who pardons, so these are the benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, we have eternity with him, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And you think, how does some of that happen? There might be some angelic intervention, right? So then we jump to verse 20. It says, well, I'm just going to read 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. And verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. So again, another scripture that says, they're mighty in strength. They perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. I guess it was Lois who said she had an encounter with God one day, and he said, your angels don't have anything to do. He was basically getting after her about praying the word. Pray more so your angels have more to do. And she realized we have access to so much. It's like having money in the bank we're not spending, right? So I want to ask you tonight, how busy are your angels? Like we talked last week about praying the word, when we declare the word, when we pray to God, when we, you know, have a need, someone around us has a need, are the angels, do they have something to do? I want my angels to be busy, and they haven't been very busy. Not as busy as they should be, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. So just to sum this up, we're going to get out early tonight. This is good. We don't pray to angels, right? Never pray to angels. We pray to the Lord. We don't seek angels, and we don't seek to have encounters with angels. If they come, they come. But it's Jesus is our Lord, and that keeps us in a safe place. The word of God is our authority, and all the good things, it lines up with the word, right? Some people have gotten into, what is it, Joseph Smith, you know, listening to angels, whole new doctrine. It's a cult. It's terrible. So we need to pay attention to that. If people are going, angels are telling me a lot of things, you need to, you know, all the flags go up. That's not us as Christians. We pray, God sends the angels, and they do the work. They're a part of the kingdom work, right? We all work together, but we don't listen to them in that way. We don't get doctrine from them, I'll put it that way. They can come and give direction. They can help us, but we don't get doctrine from them for sure. And then John 10 talks about hearing the voice of our good shepherd. We listen to Jesus. That is who we listen to and follow. And I just want to tell a testimony. Tammy and I could tell we were talking about it. Probably a handful of us would have testimonies about angels. A minister that we listened to, he needed money for a building. He had a deadline. He needed like $126,000, right? And some people had offered him some money, and God said, no, that's not what you need. Don't take it from them. There was strings attached. And so he said, I have a better way. He was supposed to go preach. Holy Spirit said, have somebody else preach. You need to stay in your hotel room. And while he's in there, two very large angels come in. They were so tall, their heads went through the roof. There was some interaction of words. Long story short, they said, we're waiting for the command. We're here to help you, you know, get your money. And he spoke the word. He said, God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And they took off. Short period of time, they're in a meeting. They're trying to figure out what to do because they were going to be losing their building if they didn't have some money. I think the price of the building was maybe $500,000 or something, close to $500,000. He didn't have that. He was just needed this $126,000 to get the fire out, you know, to just the bank said, we need to have this much. They're in a meeting. A man comes up in a jogging suit and he says, I'm here. I don't like your preaching. I don't like anything about you, but these two fellows keep showing up in my room. That's what he said, these two fellows. And he had said nothing. Here's a check for $126,000. Then, so praise the Lord, the need is met, right? The angels went and got it. He was praying. Then it gets even better. They're in a meeting. The minister who the money came to, he's here. He has a guest minister. He's standing there and he says, man in the back, come forward. God has something that you're supposed to do. This minister looks back and he says, no, he's already done what he's supposed to do. We're so grateful. This man, the guest minister, said, no, he's supposed to speak. He comes up and he says, the two fellows are back in my room. And he said, I will be paying off this entire building. He paid off the building because of the fellas that came who were the angels. Praise the Lord. So... So the angels, I guess they, I don't know if they kind of persuade people. I'm not sure how that works. I won't say bully, but persuade. But they're working on our behalf, yes? Yeah. So I'm just going to close with that. I want you guys to be encouraged. Are you praying the big prayers? Are you looking to God? Because as we release our faith, you know, we can just talk this way. We can pray this way. Or we can engage. Let's get serious with him. And when we get serious with him and engage, I just say, like, Lord, I'm like right in your face. When Rachel was a little girl, if she got afraid or needed something, she had this thing. We were nose to nose. But I knew she needed something. And my job was to get it for her. And, you know, we just need to get nose to nose with the Father and say, I need this. I need this for my church. I need this for my family. I need baby Harley back. Whatever it is. We need that, Father. So we just get nose to nose with God, and he will do his work. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, that faith would rise in our hearts. Lord, every one of us, that you would show us how to pray. Lord, that we would just be honest with you, the simple, powerful prayers, Lord, that change everything. We thank you that you're good. We thank you for your kingdom design, Lord, that we're not alone. Father, that we have angelic assistance in the unseen world that works on our behalf, Father. We thank you for it, Father. I pray for our church body, and the heirs of salvation, Father, that are to come, Lord, that the angels would be sent out to do the bidding, Lord, of you, what you would have done, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for meeting the needs, Lord, bringing the new body parts, Lord, whatever it is, the eardrums, Lord, the new parts for the bodies, Lord, that are worn out or damaged. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we give you honor and praise. Watch over your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Love you all.